Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we help enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, and ordained minister, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Welcome to Nightlight Matrix. That was the magical voice of Ken Quiethawk, inviting you all to come in out of the mainstream and join with us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we call creation. Come and join with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and wisdom. These are times of change that times that call to the light workers, and you answer that call from all walks of life, from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities, from all walks of life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family again. We go by different titles and names. We call ourselves watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers, querents, journeyers and journeymen, seekers, star children, philosophers, light workers, light bearers, and the list, oh gosh, it goes on and on and on, and it is as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all in our own way bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and shifting of the consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in the turmoil we call creation. So sit back, take a break. Share your lights with us and join in the love, the light, and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. I'm Barbara DeLong, your host, and today, along with Reverend Ann Rose, we are going to be looking into what's going on. We're going to try to find the answers to all of the mysteries that have been sort of popping up. And we're going to sort of plumb the depths of our spiritual wisdom and knowledge. If you want to find that beautiful voice from the beginning of the show, Ken Quiethawk can be found at nativestorytellers.com. If you want to experience more of me, I'm at barbaradelong.com. And the Reverend Ann Rose can be found at, I believe, UnitedMetaphysicalInstitute.com or MetaphysicalWisdom.com. And she'll probably put her absolute title or connection in the chat room here. She is an amazing lady, and she is also known as Illumination. She's one of the most gifted and authentic psychic mediums that I have ever worked with. And she was born with, of course, the gifts of all of the clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, and on and on and on. I think she has all of them. So she's a well-rounded medium, psychic, spiritualist. And she is really a magical lady. She's one of New York's most gifted psychics. And she's a light worker, a teacher, an intuitive, a metaphysician. She hosts her own shows. She She does radio shows. She does all sorts of wonderful things that help others to gain clarity and healing in their life. And she is, in addition to being a psychic medium, she's a reverend and a leading light worker, teachers and intuitive healers in her field, and offers workshops and classes, and also has her own energy healing center and practice. She is a lady of amazing, amazing gifts. And on top of it all, she has what I feel is the greatest gift of all. She has humility, and she has a sense of humor. And though she does amazingly wonderful things, and she is sensitive and certainly compassionate and empathetic towards the people that she works with, she has her ability to bring laughter into situations to lighten the mood is just phenomenal. She is a magical lady, and I am so very honored that she has gifted us with her time today. And thank you for being here.
Well, thank you very much. That's such a beautiful introduction. I feel like I should be bowing. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I wish I was like Chris at Curious Times, that she brings all of her guests into applause, and I think that is the coolest thing ever. you have one of those amazing bios that goes on and on and on. It knows no end, and all of the clairs. What does clair mean, by the way? I mean, I know clairaudient, clairsentient, but what does clair mean?
The clair itself, I think it's, you know, when I look at it or think about it, I think of like that divine connection, you know, that foot into the other side, that,
I'm familiar with all the terms, you know, almost all of them, you know, clairaudient, clairsentient, clair this, clair that, clairvoyant. But I understand the second half, but not the first half. I'm going to have to Google it at some point in time so I know what I'm talking about when I say it.
Well, you know, I think we've just, you know, come to use it in, you know, just as the sixth sense. You know, it's just that little bit of extra. Why they named it the clairs is beyond me. Maybe the person who actually discovered it was named Clair. You know, just as anything else, who knows? But that's a good thing to look up.
You know, maybe it has a basis in French or something. You know, it may come from the French or something like that. Oh, Curious Times is saying it means clear. Clear from the French, yeah, somebody said. Okay, means clear, and voyance meaning vision. Okay, so that would make sense. You know, you have clear hearing, clear seeing, clear whatever. And
you know, when I think of clear, you know, it does bring to mind French, but I think of, you know, for some reason I think of nighttime. I think of like the veil. I think of, I don't know. I think of the night sky. I think of just in my mind, thinking back, visions, moonlight, stars. You know, that's what Claire thinks, to, you know, like a clear starry night, you know.
Like Claire,
so, yeah, that would make a lot of sense.
You know, I think we should actually, since we are in a new century, I think we should rename gifts. We should rename all of the spiritual philosophies and definitions that we've been using that you know, go back so far. I think that quite, well, like I would prefer to be called a spiritual empath rather than a psychic. Because to me that more defines what I do. But I just think that you know, the terms have become hackneyed. They have been overused and worn out. And maybe we should get together sometime with a big bottle of wine and reinvent, you know, the chakra systems and all of the terms that are used in the spiritual field, because I don't think they really apply anymore.
Well, you know, as my Latin brothers, sister, the Latin brothers and sisters would say, that's it. That's what we'll do.
Yeah. I mean,
a lot of fun.
Well, when I designed the deck of cards, the cosmic deck of initiation, the first the first 11 cards all refer to chakras. And mm-hmm. because I really can't pronounce the Sanskrit ones, nor could I spell them, I just renamed them. And, you know, nobody seems to mind.
Good for you.
So, you know, it's kind of like, yeah. Well, you know, it was interesting. When I was working with chakras and working with them, you know, doing workshops with them and everything, I tried to find out who put the colors to them and when they became appropriate. And it was really fascinating that while the system has been around for probably thousands of years, the mm-hmm. actual chakra system as we know it today has only been around since the 1800s. And, you know, or 1500s, and then in the 1800s, they sort of made it official, and somewhere in that time frame, they applied the colors to it. But where they came from originally, from India, there were no colors mm-hmm. ever connected to them. So some smart person, after the invention of color, looked at the rainbow, said seven colors. Well, why don't we put them on the chakras? And you know, you would have thought that it was, there was some thought put into it, but absolutely there wasn't. And so I think some people have since said, well, it has to do with the resonance of the color and the intensity of the frequency that's connected to it and all of that. But the reality is, from what I read, somebody just said, well, let's just put colors with them. That'll make it more fun. And
well,
you know
you kind of go, well, it just feels right, you know,
mm-hmm.
because it does. I mean, you go with what you feel. It feels like, whether it's an actual feeling, an inner knowing, a sense of being. You use all those clairs to kind of put what you feel on that, those spins of the chakras. Like when I taught you know, Reiki and doing the chakras, there's some people that don't see the colors of the chakras, and we won't mm-hmm. point any elbows, Linda. and but, you know, they will see the energy of that chakra, or they will see the symbol or the shape of what that chakra means to them.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's fascinating, because when the whole system was you know, brought forth, it was not a big deal. It was just sort of like, you know, these are energy systems that are in the body, and you know, here's where they're located, and you know, the energy moves from one to the other to the other to the other, and it was not really meant to be a major anything. It was just a reality that there are all of these different chakras that we have, and it isn't just those seven. It's above and below, and it's in our hands, and I mean, the chakras are all over the place, and basically they were represented with lotuses, so that you know, and the more petals, of course, you know, as you came from the root chakra up. But you know, it's sort of like, none of this stuff that we deal like is truly carved in stone, and I think that it needs to be evolved into the time that it serves, so that just maybe it would be appropriate to sort of redefine this entire field with new terminology that was, I don't want to say easier, but fits more appropriately than the archaic terms that we use. For instance, the spiritualist church, even today, calls their school a lyceum. It doesn't call itself a school.
Mm-hmm.
And that term goes back to the 1800s or before. So, you know, I think that we need to brush the dust off some of this stuff. Maybe
Absolutely.
Three bottles of wine should do it, but you know, may take a few more bottles of wine. Now that I come to think of it, there is an awful lot to be reinvented here. But my feeling is that people are more and more and more aware of spirituality, wanting to function, wanting to include it within their reality, wanting to make it a part of their everyday life, And a lot of the terms and the philosophies take you back to a time when spirituality was not accepted, but was actually looked upon as, oh my God, that's witchcraft.
Absolutely.
So maybe we should create a lightworker's dictionary.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, you know, I have a publishing company. We could do that.
See, look at that. There, you know, there's, you know, symbols made easy. You know, I hate to call it the New Age symbols. Maybe the lightworkers symbols. Something needs to change because, you know, you, me, the rest of the world, a lot of us, we can't pronounce half these words, nor do we choose to pronounce half these words, because when you speak to the average Joe, they don't understand what you're trying to say when you're trying to explain energy to them. And if you go into all these far out words, they just kind of go, I'm going to go over here now. So you totally lose them. You know,
well,
if it's something really simple, then you keep them a little longer and maybe get them interested in saying, hey, yeah, maybe I'd like to learn about that.
I mean, they're energy centers is what they are. And energy moves from one center to another, and they spin in different directions, and you know, they are related to different aspects of life all over the place. But if you the mood, I mean, I can't even pronounce them. So you know, I would imagine if I had been brought up in India, I would be able to say them easily, but that has not been the case. So it just seems to me that you know, not only the chakras, which is, you know, the main thing that you know really trips my tongue, but also, you know, how we describe ourselves. And, you know, in the beginning I was going soothsayers and mystics and this and that and that, and all those terms really are referencing
scary.
And a lot of them have negative connotations. Even though they're not negative, you know, the people are not negative that are claiming that title. So I think that there should be some very positive titles put on things so people have a happier feeling of referencing themselves as a light worker or sometimes the names are swell and fine. It's when people define themselves as a master of this or a master of that you know, I get a little upset with. You know, I have no problem with Reiki master because I know that that's another level and you go to school for it and you become a Reiki master. But there are a few psychics that I work with that label themselves master this and master that, and they work with, you know, master charge. And you know, it's sort of like, you know, you got
the overlord.
Yes. and come on, we're all very human, and we all have the same gifts, and some of us have been able to crack that door and get more information out than others, and we're very willing to share it. It's
yeah,
not like we're going to
absolutely.
So I'm
just going to tell people to call me Jack, and they could form that however they want. Either I don't know Jack, or I am a jack of all trades and master of most.
Now that's a good thing. I had somebody come up and ask me once, and she was very serious. She said, "I work with." And she named a whole bunch of really high mucky muck in the Bibles. And she said, "Now, what master do you work with?" And I said, "Master Charge." And she said, "I'm not familiar with that one." I lost
Jesus.
It. I couldn't keep a straight face. It's
so
just
bad.
You know, I you know, I kind of feel like it's frankly, I don't I don't mean to insult anybody out there, and I know I'm about to, but it's my show. I truly believe that people who say they work with, you know, saint this or saint that or archangel this or archangel that are not necessarily connecting to that person. They're connecting to that consciousness so that they're bringing that level of consciousness through in their work. Because
let's face it, I agree with that.
You know, I mean, so many people, you know, give the impression that Archangel Michael, you know, has breakfast with me every day, and it's kind of like, really, what does he eat? You know, does he leave his sword outside?
I mean, he eats the same thing I do.
Yeah, but it is, and I do not doubt for a moment that they are, you know, connecting to that consciousness and that wisdom and that level of insight and that spiritual message that comes with that level of consciousness. I am positive that they are connecting to that. But people tend to personify a level of consciousness, and then people get confused because they think, you know, isn't she hot, whatever, or isn't she full of it? You know, one way or another. And you know, they tend to not pay attention to the wisdom that's coming through, but the arrogance of the person who is announcing that is the person that is sending the information through to just them. And I don't know about you, but I would say that in the last 50 years, I have met probably 50 or 60 people that claim that Archangel Michael is their guide and is with them all the time. If that's the case, he's got to have multiple personalities, or he has to be a level of consciousness.
You're absolutely right, and because I work with the angels a lot, when I work with that level of consciousness, I can explain it a little bit better on how I feel or how I work with it or how I understand it. It's kind of like being everywhere and nowhere all at the same time. You know, there's no, you know, here is the only place that there's linear time. No other place is there concept of time. So they can be everywhere all at once. And
right.
I think that, you know, my belief is that all these beings or these perception of these beings are within us on some cellular level. And when they are called into play or into guidance, we pull that consciousness up. And that consciousness is what is with us or what is needed.
Yeah.
Whatever is needed comes to the surface. And that is what we work with. And I think during certain times, because if you notice, certain beings gather, and I mean certain humans gather at one place, and they usually have, coincidentally, the same guide or, you know, the same issues. And so they tend to gravitate towards the same angels and that's, or the same consciousness, we'll say. And that's usually because what's going on in the world is affecting those people in the same way. So that's why they're pulling up that level of consciousness or that angel as the guide. If that makes any sense. I don't know if that makes any sense to you.
Makes total sense. And you know, I, you know, there are those that channel from the Pleiadian energy, some from the Orion energy. And, you know, it's not that any of these energies, none of them, I want to really make clear, I do feel that they all are of equal power and value. So that it has nothing to do with one is better than another, because it has to do with who you relate to more easily, actually. And so that you know, and I don't know where my information comes from. I do know that I tap into my higher consciousness, and my higher consciousness goes wherever it's supposed to go to get the information, or connects to whatever level of information I'm supposed to be bringing through. But I have never gotten a name. I once said to somebody I went out with for a very long time, this was during the time when transmediums were very, very popular. And I said, you know, I think if I became a transmedium, that, you know, I might be able to have a greater circle of people that I would impact. And he said, well, who would you channel? And I said, well, it couldn't be somebody that everybody else is channeling, because that would be, you know, can't do Seth, can't do. So I said, I think I'll channel Melchizedek. And I really liked that name. And he has, you know, he had a similar background to Jesus. He you know, had no birth and he had no death, and you know, he was really high priest of forget where, but he was high priest of somewhere, and he was, you know, he was Old Testament, and it was to him that God entrusted his wife. You know, we never hear about his wife, but anyhow, and that's in the Bible. So I thought, you know, I'll do that. And I tried to, you know, we went through a mock whatever. I couldn't keep a straight face. I just couldn't. And so it became very apparent that I was never going to be a trance medium. Because almost, and this is only my experience, but almost every trance medium I ever met, I did not see any energy come into or go out of. And while the information was truly channeled information for the most part, But to me, it was channeled information that they put on a front for, so that people would pay attention to them more. Because if it was, and I go back to one of the ministers at the church who channeled Master Light, and she would pack the house full, and she would speak as Master Light, and the information was phenomenal. But I truly believe it was her going to her higher consciousness and attaching to whatever energy was out there. I did not see another energy standing there or coming into her. And I'm wondering if that is common for a lot of the trance mediums that are out there. They don't want to take responsibility for what they say. So they say it is, you know, Master so-and-so speaking through me, and I don't remember anything I say. I don't know. What do you think?
You know, that there's a fine line with that, because there are some things that, like, sometimes when I channel, but when I do readings, especially when I do a lot, and I don't call myself a channeler or anything like that, but I'll do readings, and if you ask me something after I've done, like, a few readings during that day, I really can't recall all of the information. Because I try to wipe the slate clean after I'm doing the next reading.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not that I don't want to remember this stuff. It's just that if I contained or kept hold of that information, my head would probably explode.
Oh, absolutely. I do the same thing. But oftentimes, and I bet this is the case with you, when you sit with a person that you've sat with before, there is a memory, there is a faint shadow of, I've read you before, didn't we talk about this or that or whatever?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
I don't remember all the readings that I do at the end of a day if I've read 25 or 30 people. No way. I'll remember if there's a theme, and there usually is a theme, because it just feels like people, you know, are driven to psychics, and you usually have, you know, it's either career or it's romance or it's spiritual journey. It's very rare that there's anything, you know, other than that you know you're facing or talking about, and I just, you know, it amazes me. We all, you know, every reader that is a valid reader, and there are tons of us out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do bring wisdom of a higher nature into reality for people to embrace, and sometimes they do and sometimes they don't, but it's an amazingly wonderful energetic, you know, experience, and you know, I count myself so lucky to be able to do that with other people. I did, you know, I'm going to change topic drastically here because we go on with this forever.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about what's going on in the world today, because craziness is going on out there.
Woo-hoo!
Energetically.
Party over here. Oh, no party.
Yeah, no party. I mean, I don't know.
Depending on how you look at it.
Well, I don't know if you follow Facebook too much, but the other night I got so upset. I put an open letter to the government on my Facebook page, and I fired the entire government. There's a lot of very strange energy going on, and if you stand back and you take a look at not what they're doing, because that's crazy, but the energy that seems to be driving them, it does appear that there's almost a crazy energy with the weather patterns, with what's going on in the world today energetically. It feels as though there are all sorts of shifts and stuff like that going on, and what the tilt of the earth was supposed to have changed, so energetically everybody would be affected by that. It's craziness, and you know, I'm pretty sure you probably have noticed it.
Yeah, it's definitely been way out there, and you know, it's not just one thing. I think everybody's is not, they don't have the ability right now to just focus on the one thing, which is kind of sad. We're kind of focused on trying to spread the energy. Even us as light workers are trying to put our energy out there to assist in everything that we possibly can to help calm the things down that are kind of in upheaval right now. One being the there's so many stories coming out from this whole government shutdown. One that I heard that was very disturbing was the something about the military not being buried. But yet other things were being paid, but the military wasn't going to be buried. I was really, really upset about that. And
a foundation has come forward and is going to take care of that. But yeah, no, you're
that's
absolutely
not the
right.
Point. You know what I mean?
Oh no.
The point of the matter is like, you know, it's sitting back and watching two children going, well, if so and so does this, then we can do this.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, war should be fought on paper. I totally agree with that. But not at the expense of lives.
No, and, you know, I think what upsets me greatly is, you know, the tours at the White House were going on, yet these men, you know, their families were said, you've got to come and get the bodies because, you know, we're not going to ship them to you, and the money, you know, maybe will come later. And you know, this country, this nation had a spiritual foundation. You know, it may not have been exactly what everybody thinks, but we came together to sort of have freedom of thought, freedom of religion, freedom of everything. And and it just feels like and I don't know why, but it feels like for some reason the government is now trying to take away all sorts of privileges from us that you know, we had back 300 years ago. And it frightens me. Do you know, I know of probably, you know, offhand, I know of at least 10 people who came to this country because it was going to be a better life, and they have all gone back to their natural countries. They've all left. They've all said, this is not what we thought it was. This is not a place where you really do stand a chance at getting ahead, where you, I mean, yes, the streets are not paved in gold, but if you work hard, you can achieve. And you know what? They're making it so that you can't anymore. And in my letter to the government, I accused them of doing away with the middle class and creating an elite class for themselves, and everybody else was in the lower level. And that's how I feel.
So we'll have to watch out for you. So if you disappear, we know what happens, right?
You'll know that the government is coming. Actually, you know, when Patrick was alive, he preached he preached the overthrow of the government all the time, and I was so sure that they were going to come and get him. And now that he's passed over, I am suddenly preaching the overthrow of the government, and it's like, holy crap, this is either Patrick working through me or I have lost my mind.
Both.
Because probably both, yes. Well, I was probably that stable to begin with. But it's just sort of like, I mean, I'm seeing our government sending thousands and millions of dollars overseas to other countries, and we have people here homeless, hungry, and you know, just out of work. Why? I mean, we have more money. This government has taken in more money than it ever has before, and they're claiming that Medicare is going to go under and Social Security is going to go under, and they're taking stuff away, and instead of earning more money, they're printing more money, and it's sort of like...
How can you afford to print more money, like a new and improved bill, and actually
more.
are going to generate money from printing this new money? How does that work?
I don't know. Well, they print it and they put it out there and they figure it's not backed by anything. The dollar isn't worth a dollar anymore. But you know, this country was meant to be a place for people to for opportunity. And it's not that any longer. It's not that at all. And I'm seeing more and more people who are out of work and can't find jobs, and teachers who can't find jobs, and people who would do anything, but they can't find a job. And then, of course, we have people who call into the shows and ask about jobs. And we had one lady the other day who was so arrogant. She couldn't find a job, and we suggested a whole bunch of jobs. And, oh, no, I won't do that. And, oh, no, I won't do that. And it's like, you can't need a job too bad, lady, because a job is a job.
Yeah, there's you know, I watched this thing on TV the other day. It was a surfer guy in California who was he was homeless. He had an EBT card, and so he was collecting food stamps from the government and money from the government. Yet he's homeless. There's nothing wrong with this kid. He spends his day surfing all day long. He's using the food stamps and the money to eat gourmet food and sushi every day. I'm like, what's wrong with this picture? And he's talking about it on TV. You know,
exactly. And how about the people who work real hard and get on disability and then just put their feet up? I mean, I was on disability, and they forced me into it because I was disabled. But I kept saying, you know, I have a job. I'm not disabled. But then my job forced me into retirement, so I didn't have a job. But the system is so broken that people can take advantage of it, and then the people that truly need it can't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's, so what happened to our sense of fairness, our sense of honor? What happened to honor? What happened to playing fair? I mean, people are, you know, there are programs out there that people take. I was in the grocery store one day, and there was a lady ahead of me, and this was during the winter, and she had on a mink coat. She had nails that would have, well, they could have really impaled you, and jewelry like you wouldn't believe. And she rolled into that line, and she paid for everything with food stamps. And I'm standing there in my sweats with a smaller cart that, you know, I'm going to pay cash for. And I'm thinking, how?
What am I doing wrong?
Yeah, and I followed her out to the parking lot, and she was parked next to me, and she had the Cadillac SUV, I forget what it's called, but she was in a car that had to be $80,000-$90,000 worth of car. And I looked at her and I thought, you know, there is definitely something wrong with our system. I do believe people that are disabled need to be helped. And you know, mothers, and nobody should be homeless. Nobody should go hungry. And That's happening. The system isn't working for us. People shouldn't be going hungry. People shouldn't be homeless. There shouldn't have to be shelters for homeless people. There are enough jobs. There is enough room. There is enough space on this planet, in this country, that everybody could actually, if they were willing to work for it, should be able to survive and survive well. So, and I think the government in many ways has just gotten out of control and drunk with power. I mean, please explain to me, this is not real spiritual, but please explain to me why they get their salary for life after they've served two terms in it's either Congress or the Senate, I forget which, but they both get their salaries for life. Why? I taught school. I didn't get my salary for life when I was retired. I don't, you know, why? The president gets, you know, salary for life too. Maybe the president. Okay, I can see that. But
it's hush money. Don't ask, don't tell.
Oh, you know, I'm so afraid you're right. But where is the spiritual in all this? You know, you and I and Lizzie and tons of people, we're working really hard to bring a spiritual balance into people's lives. We're talking to people about walking their talk and trying to walk our talk as well. And you look around and you see the society wherein you are struggling to bring a message to, and yes, people do listen. I'm not saying nobody's listening, but I am saying that it's not the majority. I mean, there are people who are gifted and talented and wonderful and generous and kind and spiritual, but to survive in this kind of environment, I think the universe has one hell of a sense of humor.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I'm I'm probably the most, I'm like the platypus. I'm nothing what you expect to look at at all. You know, a lot of people look at me and go, you're not what I expected at all. But, you know, I try to really walk my talk because I can't tell you to do something if I'm not going to do it myself.
Exactly.
I can't ask you to pick up garbage from the street if I'm not going to pick up garbage from the street myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have a really hard time with garbage being in the street. So I'm walking into Walmart with my husband the other day, and, you know, there's garbage on the floor. And I reach down, and I'm talking to him, and I just, it's like part of my natural thing just to reach down, pick it up, and keep walking. And his first reaction is, don't touch that. That's dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear, like, not missing a beat, you know, my response is, yeah, but it's on Mother Earth. And if I don't keep her clean, I'm going to die. He just looks at me like, why are you so crazy? But it's true. You know,
and then I go into
this whole thing about, you know, I'm saving the birds because if this, you know, water bottle gets in this bird, and, you know, just going on and on about how this can harm the animals and or the environment. And, you know, he understands, but I got to go through this whole spiel just to pick up garbage from the street.
Well, I was in Staples and I paid my bill and I walked out and I got into that entrance hall thing and I stopped it. I looked at what I had been charged and I went back in because I said, you mischarged me. And the manager was there and said, oh, well, we never do that. And I said, no, this is wrong. And he said, well, ma'am, we don't overcharge. I said, no, you don't understand. You didn't charge me for everything and I owe you more money. And he looked at me and he said, well, why didn't you just leave? And I said, because I owe you the money. And there was a woman behind me And as we were getting to the parking lot, she said, "Boy, you're one stupid broad. I would have walked away without going back in to pay the extra $50. And I said, "Yeah, you probably would have, and you would have felt great. I would have felt bad." So, it's sort of like, what has happened to us as a society where people feel good about cheating and getting something extra? And you know, I'm on a real run today. I really, it's not that I'm questioning spirituality, because I know it works and it's magic and it's wonderful. And you know, I tell people that it is not meant to replace religion. It is beyond religion, and that, you know, if people want a religion, they should have a religion. There's nothing wrong with that. But spiritual is a way of life, and to be spiritual, I think, is more important than to be religious. It's just me. It's just my opinion. I'm not imposing on anybody, but it's fair. It's balanced. It's love. And I'm of late not seeing a lot of love, especially in the government.
Yeah.
And it bothers me greatly.
You know, we were talking about psychics and responsibility and not taking responsibility, and I'm talking about psychics, and I'm using that as a blanket for everyone. You know, including healers and, you know, anybody under that gambit of New Age. One of my biggest pet peeves is, you know, don't try to clean my house if your house isn't clean.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's what our complaint is right now with the government. You know, right now our country is falling apart, so we shouldn't be out there putting our nose into other people's countries or dealing with other people's battles when we need to worry about our own country and getting it together as far as financially, governmentally, and all the other issues that we have here, because we have starving children here. We have people who are in need of many things, health-wise, school-wise, education-wise, home-wise. There's battles going on that we can't even, that are so numerous, that's ridiculous. You know, we have alien issues right on our own borders that we're not dealing with.
You're absolutely right. And I think what boggles my mind is that we seem to be invading countries to bring democracy to them, and we don't have democracy here. So it makes us rather hypocritical.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I just, and recently, I don't know if you saw those articles that were around a couple weeks ago, where an ex-senator was talking about the orders for all sorts of things that were being delivered to Region 3, which is the Virginia and the Washington area, and it really appeared that all of these deliveries of meals and water and emergency kits for school children and stuff like that were all being delivered to that area. It almost felt as though the government was expecting something, and it was interesting because everything was supposed to be delivered by October the 1st. And, I mean, it was massive stuff. And on top of that, there were massive orders of vehicles that were delivered, you know, military vehicles that have been delivered all over the country. And it was almost as though, it felt as though the government was expecting some sort of civil unrest, and therefore they were preparing. And there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of school children packages that were that would have 3 days of school, of food and water in them, and that every child was supposed to have one of these emergency kits. And the DAR, for God's sakes, gave out a thing to all of its members saying that everyone should have an emergency kit at their disposal at all times that had water and food and medicine in it so that they could pick it up at any point in time and have the, what they needed for at least 3 days. And it really felt, and it still does feel, that there is something that is about to happen.
And there is. And you know, you heard it here first, folks. You know, prepare. And it's not that we're trying to scare people. You know, there is something coming down the pipe. And, yeah, we've been saying this, but, you know, it's kind of like, you know, Linda and I laugh all the time. When you see the insects acting crazy or the animals in the wild doing things that they don't normally do, you know something's about to go down.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I thought, and I still had the feeling, and I still do, that it had to do with that fault that goes up the Mississippi. I can't remember the name of it, but that fault line that reacted in 1811, 1812, that was a magnitude 9 earthquake. A lot of the preparations were right in that section, and you know, it looked like maybe the government was thinking that that perhaps the fault line was going to act up, and that there was going to be another earthquake that would be, you know, there was going to be another earthquake there.
And another earthquake where?
Gosh, come on! It's that one that runs right up the Mississippi. It's the I cannot think of the name of it. It erupted. It went off in 1811, 1812. Let me see. I've got my computer here. Let me see if I can get the cat out of the way.
I point into it. Here, Mom, here.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Oh, yes, here it is. The New Madrid line, the New Madrid earthquake. And it erupted. It went off in 1811, 1812, and it was a magnitude 9. And you can imagine it was so severe that the Mississippi River ran backwards. And
oh, wow.
they are saying that it is due to go again. So, you know, I just am wondering if scientists are saying something. I know that the government is providing for, you know, is sort of starting to put stuff together for something, and I just don't know what it is. And it just feels like FEMA is definitely equipping, you know, themselves for something.
Well, you know, that's kind of been active for a little while. What I had saw at the beginning of the year, because we, you know, Bear and I had some prediction show on the things that we saw come into pass, and I saw. It was really weird, but I actually saw a split going from like up through that area that you're talking about, but
mm-hmm.
it actually being water, like there was a new river being placed in there somehow. And I didn't know how it was going to be placed. I don't really remember what I had said, so I'll have to go back and listen to the archives, which, you know, we were actually going to go and do a show on what actually came to pass from our predictions from that show.
Like
it should be a really cool show. But one of the things that I said by the end of the year was that something was going to come to pass with that whole thing going up there, that there was going to be some major flooding through the middle of those states. And I remember I remember saying something about the Mississippi and Louisiana and all of that. So I'll have to look, I'll have to check it. So that's interesting that you're talking about that.
No, it's just that there was, I did find the link. I'll put it in here so everybody can take a look. And I'm not meaning to, to scare anybody or anything like that. It's just, you know, there's so much going on in the government. I posted it in the chat room. There's so much preparation going that, and I have felt for a couple of months that the New Madrid line was going, there was going to be an earthquake there. And all along the New Madrid line, the school systems have all sorts of the school systems, especially all of the kids have these emergency packages, all of these, and they have gone through drills on what happens if. I mean, when the earthquake hit before, it wasn't a real populated, you know, zone, but it is now. And it the devastation, when it went off, it was felt in Washington, it was felt in Boston. It was a magnitude 9 earthquake. It's pretty profound.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, not that I am a gloom and doom person, because I'm not, but I heard some other reports that a lot of the drilling that has gone on in the Gulf and a lot of the explosives that they've used to get their drills or their wells deep down has destabilized the basin, and that could possibly be a possible trigger to the New Madrid line going off again. So, you know, I don't know what the government's doing. I just know that, and then my other, and y'all are going to think I'm crazy, but I'm not. There are 800 concentration camps in this country that are staffed and are ready to receive people, and we're talking thousands and thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. And they're run by FEMA, and they're all staffed, and they're equipped with materials and stuff. And when Sandy hit, when Katrina hit, those camps were staffed and ready to receive people, but they weren't used for the disaster relief. They just sat there empty when thousands and thousands of people were homeless. And I'm wondering if FEMA runs them, and this was a thing where FEMA was active and where FEMA was helping to, you know, with the disaster. Why weren't these camps open? Why were people held in football stadiums without facilities? You know, why weren't they taken to these other places? It doesn't make sense to me. What's our country doing?
Because they weren't supposed to be brought to light yet. They weren't made for that, you know, made for what, you know, they intended. They're not that's not their intended use, I should say.
Well, are you aware of the concentration camps?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so why would we need concentration camps in this country?
Why would we need any of the stuff that's happening right now?
Exactly. And you know, I mean, this you know, we've gone off the track, but I keep trying to go back to the spirituality, and I keep getting sidetracked into this other stuff. And this was intended to be a really, really spiritual show, and I think in many ways it is. I think that being spiritual doesn't insulate you from the reality of what's going on around you. And it's, I guess the important thing to say is that spirituality becomes more and more important when there is chaos like this all around. It's real easy to be spiritual when everything is going fine. And you know, life is easy and life is abundant. And you know, the harvests come in and the birds tweet in the trees and nobody hurts anybody else. But when it comes to a difficult time, when there is stress, when there is chaos, when there is anger, when there is unkindness to fellow men all over the place, that's when being spiritual is more and more and more important. And that's when you really know if you're walking your talk.
Right.
Because, you know, because when people are going hungry, when people are homeless, when people don't have jobs, when people are stressed and challenged unmercifully, that's when you find out if you're really spiritual. It isn't when everything goes well. I mean, anybody can be spiritual then. Then it's just a cool thing to do, and we can dance on the beach and we can, you know, sing and stuff like that.
It's a broad subject. It's a subject that needs balance. And I think, you know, being that this is a spiritual show, it's not just meant to be. It's meant to be balanced. So you have to bring both things to light. This is a very dark subject, of what we perceive to be a dark subject. So we're just trying to bring light to that type of situation, so that people are enlightened about what's really happening in the world. And
well,
understanding it.
And it's sort of, it is an amazing challenge. It's sort of like, you know, so long as you have lots of money, you know, you can relax and enjoy and do and be whatever you want to be. It's when you are inconvenienced, when you don't have money and you don't have a job. And that's the hard thing to understand spirituality at that point, because you feel as though the universe is punishing you. And the universe is not punishing us. It's giving us a challenge. It's saying, okay, do you mean what you say? Do you mean what you talk? Are you gonna just sit back and smile and go on humming and meditating, or are you gonna stand up for what you believe in? And you know, I believe in balance and fairness and love and honesty. And I think that's the thing I see the lack of the most. And unfortunately, it's at the government level. And it's sort of like, you know, we used to talk about this was the land of the free and the home of the brave. I mean, we're not free.
It still is.
And
it still is.
Well,
we are free in the way that we think and the way that we
uh-huh.
believe. You know, I look at it now as far as light workers are concerned. Right now, we are in the shadow of a light worker. You know, we are walking our talk, or, you know, forced to walk our talk.
Yeah,
many people want to do that. But if you truly are who you're presenting yourself to be to the world, then you need to do that. And I think this is that time for you to, you know, step out of that shadow of a light worker and be who you are. You know?
Well, and you know, you even get those questions that are, you know, from people in the chat room. The other day, somebody wrote in the chat room, and she said, I'm married, and I at work there's a man that I'm interested in, and he's married, and you know, I'm just wondering, is there any chance that there's something that will happen between the two of us? And I think Bear was in the chat room, and she jumped on the lady and said, that's just inappropriate. Well, she called me for a reading, and all she wanted to know was it okay to pursue something with this guy? And I said, I don't want to judge you, because, you know, it's not mine to judge, but I can tell you
right.
that it's inappropriate to do that on a spiritual level, because what goes around comes around. And she said, yeah, but is there anything that's going to happen? And I said to her, you're probably going to do something that's going to wreck your marriage and his marriage, and neither of you will want to be together after that. So that's basically where you're going. And she said,
right.
Well, that's not spiritual. And I said, no, but that's reality.
you know, you might enjoy the pleasure for a minute, but it'd be a lifetime of pain, you know? I mean, you got to weigh out the options there.
Yeah, but you know, there's so much of that going on. People are really letting go of their value systems, and it almost feels like they don't think it matters anymore. And it does matter. This is the kind of time when it matters even more, when having a value system and being an honest person and loving your fellow man, not necessarily in that way, but loving your fellow man and trying to help them is really important. And I'm yes, it does happen, and yes, it is happening, and I'm you know, it happens all the time, but you don't hear about it, and all you do is see these horrible things on the news and all of these people that are grabbing for power and not looking at what's good for the common good, for the common man. And you know, it is discouraging. I mean, I'm not quitting by any means. I'm certainly obviously raising a ruckus about the whole thing.
Right. Well, sometimes we need to, you know, shake the cage in order to wake the lion. But, you know, there are people who, you know, don't understand. Some people just don't have common sense.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've had many people call me up and kind of with the same type of dilemma. And you got to bring it like full circle to them. And when you go through all the twists and turns and you go, do you understand now? And they're like, oh, yeah. Well, duh. You know, I mean, why would you do that? You know, do you have no integrity? Do you have no morals? Would you like that done to you? Well, what if it was the shoe was on the other foot? What if it was your husband doing this to you? You know?
Yeah.
And then it's a totally different thought process. I wouldn't like that. Well, yeah, duh.
Well, yeah, I can, you know, speak from experience to some level that what goes around comes around. And it usually doesn't come immediately. It waits 10, 20 years and then smacks you in the face and it's devastating. And but people don't, you know, don't even want to hear that. And the other thing that is so out there these days, which I find fascinating, are the UFOs. And everybody is tying it to the fact that we are absolutely, as a government, in peril, and that I had a lady here that literally said that the UFOs were following her and they were terrorizing her, and I said, well, you know, I didn't have that experience, and she proceeded to tell me about people she knew that had been abducted and people she knew that, you know, the Greys were coming after. And I sat there and looked at her, and she had an absolute straight face. She was perfectly serious. And the UFO stuff is becoming more and more prominent these days. So I'm wondering, maybe the government's getting ready for invasion of some sort.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I've had both sides of the coin as well. Like I've had people who have had really horrible, horrible experience with, I call them UFPs, you know, but deep aliens. And I've had people who have had great experience, if not, you know, made connections, whether they were ancestral connections or guide connections with aliens. And I think that, you know, for you to be saying that, you know, the government's preparing for something to go down makes a whole lot of sense. You know, in watching the things, the evolution of how people were speaking about aliens. You know, in the beginning, it was, you know, aliens came down and they brought this knowledge to us, and you know, we were nothing but cattle here and on the planet, and they were from other solar systems or other planets. Well, now, all these years later, now they're saying that the aliens are our ancestors.
Yeah.
Whereas before they weren't.
No, exactly. And if you even look at the Ancient Aliens series, In the first couple of series, you know, the aliens were one thing, and then suddenly, and it's really fascinating because right before Patrick died, he was filmed for the new series that's out there now, for the Ancient Alien series. And in this present series, they're talking about how the aliens are our ancestors. And mm-hmm. they're no longer calling them evil, and they're no longer calling them dangerous. And, you know, I've seen a UFO. I've been close enough to spit at one, maybe, at least 100 feet. It was about 100 feet away from me. So I've seen one, and I had the feeling of comfort and trust and love. I didn't feel threatened by it. So people who, you know, talk to me about the evil this and the evil that, I have trouble relating to, because I really didn't get that feeling from the experience. And if you look into, like, the Billy Meyer material, the Scandinavian farmer that's written a huge body of work on his experience and connections with the UFO people, he, you know, his material is phenomenal. And it's not destructive. It's not angry. It's not mean. It's not evil. And let's face it, if they really wanted to wipe us out, they could have done it thousands and thousands of years ago.
Right.
So.
I totally agree.
I mean,
as far as the abductions are concerned, I really feel kind of like, you know, with the whole Bermuda Triangle, I feel like people have just kind of crossed that dimensional barrier and, you know, went into a different dimension, whether intentionally or whether they were pulled into it and then maybe brought back into, you know, this dimension.
That's how
things came to be.
You know, that makes great sense. I mean, I think that they are interdimensional. I don't see these ships or whatever as something that has crossed the galaxy. I do believe that it's portals that have been opened, dimensional portals, and I believe that's how the crop circles were formed and stuff. It was a shift, a time shift, even maybe with these vehicles, because I don't get the feeling that they have traveled, you know, I can't prove it, but I don't get the feeling that they've traveled through millions and millions of miles of space and galaxies. I think that it's a shift, you know, almost an immediate shift. And if they can shift, you know, vehicles, then I'm sure they can shift people. So I do believe that they are among us. And probably laughing their heads off at the crazy stuff that we do. I think in many ways we're a cosmic reality show. And
I believe that.
You know, when
I know
you stop
I gotta
and
laugh
think
at some of the things that we do.
when you stop and think about it, I mean, there's always something going on down here that is just nonsensical. It doesn't make sense. Nobody would believe if somebody wrote this as a story, nobody would believe it.
It would just have to make sense because, you know, we have evolved so far to, you know, start to manifest things quicker, correct?
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten to the point where we used to just, you know, used to manifest over years. Then it became months, then it became weeks, then it became days, then it became hours, then it became minutes. And you know, it has to be like, I mean, I can honestly think of certain things and it'll just appear. Stuff will mm-hmm. just appear. And it's like somebody just unzippered the fabric of wherever that stuff is. And just put it there. And I go, wow, I just wanted something like that. And there it is. How cool is that? You know?
Well, if you look at the fact that they say, whoever they are, that we only use 6 or 7% of our brains. Well, and nobody has any explanation as to what the other 90-whatever percent of our brains are for. And I don't think it's a great big empty storage vault that's waiting to be filled. I think it is full. And I think in that space that we don't access, our talents and abilities, I sound like Superman, far beyond mortal man, because I do believe that we are capable of so much more. And we're electromagnetic beings, and magnetism can do phenomenal things. Magnetism can levitate. Magnetism can travel at a great speed, given, you know, the right frequencies and everything. And when you look at the fact that we are a walking, living battery, it only makes sense that we could do amazing things if we knew how to access that power. Are you familiar with the Coral Castle down in Florida?
The what?
Coral Castle.
Coral.
It's a castle. Coral, yeah. It's a castle that a man made for his fiancée who broke the marriage, who never, you know, they didn't marry. But he built this amazing castle out of coral, and he didn't use any machinery at all, and yet these huge chunks of incredibly intense weight have been moved around like crazy, and nobody has seen him do any of the moving of them. But yet, I mean, there's a door there that absolutely swivels. It's perfectly balanced, and it's coral, and it weighs several tons. And he has had no machinery to work with at all. And, you know, the reality is he must have been using some sort of magnetic levitation stuff. There are no machines there, so it had to be something he accessed in and of his own self. And you look at the pyramids and all of those heavy stones, and every explanation as to how those stones were put in place and how they were mined, none of them make sense. So that there had to have been another power, another energy that was utilized to do that work. So if it's not aliens, then it must be us, or maybe we're the aliens. So, you know, you do wonder. I mean, these things obviously have happened on the planet. They've been created on the planet, and we're the only, you know, species around that has the capabilities of maybe having done it. And you wonder, did we lose something? Was a door slammed? Was something taken away from us? Were we re-engineered? What's going on? Cool stuff.
Well, you know, maybe we were... We were dropped off with a manual, and we had to actually read it to get with the program, and we chose not to, or interpret it, you know, in our own way instead of we interpreted it as we do with everything else, on with one person being the leader instead of using our own minds to do it, and that's probably what has hindered us.
Well, the philosophy of the day for me, and it's for the day, it could easily be different tomorrow. My thought was that all of the ships and stuff like that we see in the sky are really little jetneys, little taxicabs, like. They aren't really the big ships. And the big ships are huge mother ships. And my theory is, at least for today, that one of those huge motherships had, for want of a better word, a flat tire. And it landed in the ocean. And in order to repair itself, there were repairs that had to be made. They had to find elements, minerals, whatever. But while they were there in the ocean, they terraformed around them so that they appeared to be an island. And they called it Atlantis. And so while they were there, while they were trying, you know, they did have contact with other races, with other people, with other ecologies and everything. And they sent emissaries out to the different societies that had some sort of structure. And they sent out these emissaries all over the place, and eventually, over 100 years or however long it was there, they repaired the ship. The ship took off, leaving behind these emissaries who were in Egypt and Brazil and all of the other places where there are these stone structures. Those people had the technology and the understanding and the techniques to be able to create these structures. And when they died, that went with them. However, they did intermingle with our population, and so in essence, we are a part of that alien race. What do you think?
That sounds very, very interesting. Therefore, you know, when that would explain a lot of other things that they can't find on this planet either, that have disappeared as well.
It would also explain how the technology is similar everywhere there are pyramids.
Absolutely.
And yet they were different because they had been assimilated by the culture that they were left in. And it would also explain Akhenaten and his son, how they were obviously, because if you look at their portraits in the pyramids, they were misshapen and their heads were misshapen as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Akhenaten tried to make the culture. He did away with all the priests and he wanted everybody to worship one god, the sun. And when his son took over, he had to go back to the priesthood because he was so young and there was only one way he was going to survive, and that was if the priesthood supported him. And you know, he and his sister kind of didn't last long and they were suddenly out of the mix and everybody went back to the way it was. But those two pharaohs, Akhenaten and Tutankhamun, were obviously, mutants. They were definitely their physicality was different. Their body structure was different. They were tall. They were very, very thin. Their heads were elongated, and so was the sister, and that's who King Tut married. But that line totally disappeared after they were gone.
True.
Just another thought. Just another thought.
And you know, some of the illnesses that they suffered also disappeared as well.
Yes.
But their culture is not the only one that had the elongated head.
Yeah.
The elongated head was found in other cultures as well.
Yeah, well, that would go with my flat tire theory.
Right.
You know, they were scattered all over the globe. And you know, I don't know where this theory came from, but I can't let go of it. And it would explain also why we haven't really found Atlantis, even though it exists in fables and stuff like that. But
I can see Atlantis like I can look at the palm of my hand and I can see Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
That's how clear I can see Atlantis,
but
I can
circular.
Only see it as if it's energy. I can't see it as if it is a physical structure.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm right with you there. I can see the circles and everything else, but if you really look carefully, it could easily be the underside or the topside of a ship. And you know, to terraform around it, to hide it, to camouflage it so people didn't think it was a ship would have been easy, and that would explain the technology, that would explain the crystals and the magnets and the whole thing.
Yeah.
I
did a real deep meditation and gathering of guides and stuff, and I had went into Atlantis. And when I had went into Atlantis, it was indeed a ship. And the first person that I met when I went there was Mother Mary. And it was very interesting because everything was blue, like I was in an aquarium. That's kind of how it was. And everything was, I don't know how to explain it, but it was like that stone appetite. All of it was that type of energy. And, but you can tell it was very, like a lot of portals and it was very ship-like. You know, I never really thought of it like that before, but it was very, very ship-like. And, everything was just energy. Like nothing was solid.
Well,
so
I can even,
like blue eyes, Linda.
And you know, they say that it exploded, but if it was taking off, wouldn't that be like an explosion?
Yeah.
And all of the terraform stuff around it got scattered all over the globe. That's why we find pieces here and pieces there. And I don't know. I wish Edgar Cayce were around.
Or if people saw, you know, going back to your flat tire theory, if it had landed on the ocean and it was like an island and eventually it did sink, you know, that would explain why people saw Atlantis sink.
I truly believe that Atlantis was a ship of aliens, and not necessarily a culture, but it was a culture. It was a species. It was definitely, But they were forced to be here, and they did leave, and you know, they left pieces of themselves, and they stranded people here who had to then survive. So they intermingled with whatever culture they were with, and they brought their technology, at least what they were able to do with their minds and things like that, and they shared that with society, and when they died, of course, it went with them. So that there, you know, there are, somebody in the chat room mentioned there are no bodies. Nobody was ever buried in a pyramid, and that's true. And not only that, but the fact that they look upon the pyramids today as basically almost power centers, that they were generators of some sort. So, you know, I just think that we have it wrong. I think that we have been just like Stone Age man was. He didn't understand something, so he made up a story to make it more feasible. And I think we don't understand a lot of stuff, and that's what we've done. We've created stories that explain them.
Well, if you're up on, you know, outer space, let's say, and you're looking down on the Earth, and you're looking for, let's say, you know, for the generators that you planted many, many moons ago, how would you be able to tell where these generators are? You would make them so that they would look like buttons coming out. Points. To me, if I was looking down at a pyramid from outer space, that's what it would look like to me, a button.
Yeah, that's true.
Something that you could, you know, be able to press. I mean, that's kind of what it looks like. And then be able to pinpoint that energy that comes out. Because we've never, we say that the pyramid is flat, and that it's, you know, that it's this triangle dimension. But what if it's not? Go ahead.
It actually isn't. They have done stuff from above, and they find that the sides are curved in, so that there is definitely They aren't flat. They are absolutely they are perfectly aligned with the north, south, east, west. They are on absolutely flat rock. The foundations are firmly it's like the whole thing has been sheared off with a laser, and it's that perfect. And what's amazing is that the great pyramid at Giza would fit onto the same foundation as the I think it's the Pyramid of the Sun in South America. Their bases are exactly the same. You know, and what a coincidence.
So what if they are like buttons?
Well, yeah, no, absolutely, they could be. And if you are you familiar at all with the South American the Belize in that area, the pyramids that are there?
Absolutely.
Because they have that Avenue of the Dead, and if you look at the structures that line that Avenue of the Dead, they look like landing places for something.
Mm-hmm.
They're flat. And they mm-hmm. have and what I don't understand, people think, you know, when they talk about all of the steps, they say, well, they were built that way so that people had to crawl up to the top and then they were killed so they rolled down easily. No, come on. The reality is they weren't built for human feet.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't take a contractor to figure that out. I mean, if you're doing steps, you do them so that, you know, and there are plenty of structures all over the world that were constructed for human feet, and they all are, you know, the steps are built for human feet, and those steps are not built for human feet. And I don't think they were built for animals. So the only other suggestion, answer, possibility is that something non-human had to do with the construction.
Well, you know, when I think about it, you know, everything is everything. So
mm-hmm.
we have to, you know, like most of our trucks and planes resemble our insects. Would you agree?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So a lot of our children's toys resemble a lot of our buildings, you know,
yeah.
like Legos, Lincoln Logs. So why mm-hmm. wouldn't something like that be like our pyramids or our temples that were built way back when? What if there's other pieces that are not here? That are in other places that when brought together will form whatever it's supposed to.
That easily could be. I mean, you look at, are you familiar with Pumapunka?
Mm-hmm.
The rock structures there look very much like Legos. And they're all right angles and they're all absolutely as though they've been carved with lasers. They're that
and
accurate.
The placement is for the weight of them is crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you just stop and think about it, and you're absolutely right. I mean, there are no children's toys, you know, with us that resemble any of these structures. So why not? Look at Nazca. Is a mountaintop that has been sheared off. It's absolutely been sheared off. It's like something came and cut it off, leveled it off. And then all of these figures that you only can see from the sky were etched on the plateaus. What's up with that?
Right.
I mean, I think, but you know, there's so much that we don't understand that people have made up fables, stories, myths about, and they have been created. The myths have been created from our own frame of reference, much like the stuff in the Bible. In the Bible, when they were talking about something that was in the sky, they called it the heavens, and then now when we read it, we understand that they didn't mean heaven, they meant the sky.
Right.
You know, these people, whatever, came down from the sky, not from heaven, but from the sky. And so I think that we, from our own frame of reference, can only describe things that we can conceive of. And I think that we are so far off base. There has to be something that is even more profound going on that we don't have the frame of reference for, so we're not able to really fully, not only not explain it, but not describe it appropriately.
You know, what if these pyramids or these buildings are, you know how like we set up our cell phone on to charge it on these
mm-hmm.
like little things? What if that's what they are? Something to charge the ship that pulls the energy from the earth.
Yeah. That could be. No, I mean, there's so many. Have you seen the photographs of the orbs that are around the sun?
Yes, I actually have some. I actually took some. I gave some to Linda, and she was like, what is that red spot or that blue spot? And I was like, I don't know. I was just kind of like taking the real beautiful picture because they had this giant orb around the sun, and you're noticing all these other little color orbs that are around it. Yeah.
What if they were refueling? What if they refueled from the sun? What if they took their energy source from the sun?
Yeah.
That would make sense. I just, you know, I think one of the things when I croak that I'm going to be so fascinated to figure out exactly what all this means. And you know, it really bugs me that Patrick has not come back and you know, spilled some secrets, because by now he must have learned. You know, it's kind of like, where the hell are you? Come on. We agreed to disagree on reincarnation, and basically we decided that he believed that it was genetic memory, and I believe that we reincarnate, and I think it's probably a little of both, actually. But you know, he went first, and so he was supposed to come back and tell me who was right, but since he hasn't come back, I kind of assume that I was right and he just doesn't want to tell me. Because if he was right, he would have been here in a heartbeat. You know, it would have been knock, 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 knock. Hey, by the way, I was right. You know, and that would be it. But I haven't heard from him. So I really truly assume that you know, it's reincarnation with a little genetic memory thrown in for the you know, frosting. But you know, it's just it's sort of like I really want to know. It feels to me like the answer is so close. It's you know, an awareness that you know, we just haven't tuned into yet, because if we are indeed a part of whoever that was, that genetic memory has to be inside of us, and we should be able to tap into it, wouldn't you think? Have you ever tried to meditate on a lifetime that was an extraterrestrial one?
Have I what?
I mean, I know you meditate and you go into past lives. But have you ever specifically said, okay, I want to go into a past life that was on where I was not human, where I was another life form? I mean, I haven't, but it, now that it has occurred to me, I think I'm gonna. If our spirit, if our soul has been around since the beginning of time, and they have, then the evolution of that spirit has to have been through many series of evolutions, and you know, and I'm wondering if many different planets, and if we'd been many different kinds of life forms in our evolution. I mean, have we always been human, or have we been other life forms?
Oh, you know, no, I think we've lived so many different, I think Earth, yeah, we've spent a lot of time here, but I
mm-hmm.
think that's why we can relate to so many different you know, the Palladians, the Syrians, the Arcturians, I think that's why we can relate to all these different alien species, because at one time or another, I think we had to be them. I think we had to experience those beings, those essences or those consciousness, like the angels we hold within our cellular structure.
Right.
And so we're able to pull up that information when need be. I'm laughing at Linda. She's going Earth to Anne. As soon as you said it, I started going there. I say stuff like that to me because I'll start to go.
Well, it just seems it seems to me that maybe it would be fun. It would be fun to you know, spend some time you and me and if we could get, you know, Bear in on it and Lizzie and whoever would want to be a part of it, maybe Rihanna, and really spend some heavy duty time meditating to go beyond our humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And just see what kind of consciousness, what kind of wisdom, what kind of energy, what kind of information we could draw from that. Because basically we have been working within the human species, you know, as far as,
right,
you know, past lives and all of that. But if indeed we have been through all of this other stuff, then those levels of consciousness and those links to those levels of consciousness should be there, and it's just a matter of tapping into them.
I
Wouldn't
agree.
You think?
Yeah,
seems,
I think that would be
seems,
a lot of fun. I think it, you know, that would be a great way to do some type of retreat, going beyond our human consciousness.
Humanity
would be a great,
yeah,
time, right?
And you know, the reality, the fact of it is that we are in a human body and we have a human consciousness, but our spirit is not necessarily human. It's an immortal spirit. So.
Uh-huh.
If that's the case, you know, go beyond humanity and, you know, where else has this spirit been? What else has it done? What other cultures, environments? And I don't really think necessarily it's animals that we're talking about. I just think it's other races that have a spiritual presence and consciousness. So it would be fascinating. And imagine what kind of wisdoms that you could pull from those, not even cultures, but species. You know, where was their frame of spirituality? How did it apply to their evolution? And what kind of experiences did we have that brought us to this point in time? And you know, I really believe that we move to another species when we've evolved to a certain level of consciousness and evolution, and then we go on to another one where we evolve through those experiences that help to facet and polish us in another aspect of our evolution. I mean, to think that you know, God was a human is ridiculous. I mean, God is a consciousness, not a person. So that consciousness has to have been all things to all things. And
right,
we're only one thing. We're only one thing, you know. So it's kind of like, you know, what else is there out there that we carry within our brains? I think that's what really keeps bugging me, that there's 94% of our brains that we're not using, and what's in that 94%? It's not just empty space. There's got to be stuff there that should be, you know, so cool to find and to use and to incorporate into this lifetime. And you know, how shallow of us to think that our brain is, you know, that we are using, you know, the most capacity that we've got, because we're not. There's 90 some percent that isn't being utilized. What's that for?
Well, you know, the funny thing is how many people are using more than that, And why can they use more than that?
Well, don't you?
I
truly believe.
And why haven't learned from them?
Well, who would you say was using more than the 6 or 7%?
Albert Einstein?
Well, yes, except none of his theories ever proved out. But he was brilliant at being brilliant, that's for sure. Okay, Wernher von Braun, you know, that has been the big rocket person that we got from Germany. He was one of Hitler's high guys, and we brought him over here, and he became head of our rocket system. And when he was interviewed, and they asked him, where did he get all of his stuff? Where did it come from? And he said, we had help. And basically, he was saying that the aliens helped him. Have you seen that? So it's sort of like, okay. And I don't know why I've never gone into my head and just meditated on, you know, it doesn't echo in there. I know it doesn't echo, so I know it's got to be full of something, and it can't there can't be that much crap I've stored. So it has to be something of value that I've carried lifetime to lifetime to lifetime to lifetime to lifetime that has to be of worth. And if indeed we have had those kind of cultures and societies where magic did happen, probably the magic is there too. And you know, magic to me is anything that is beyond the norm. It is the paranormal. And when you stop and think about the term paranormal, which is above normal, a lot of the things that are termed paranormal today really aren't paranormal. They're more normal than anything else. And so that, you know, it's the book that I'm writing is when the paranormal becomes normal, where then do we go? And but yeah, 94%. Come on. I mean, if we can do this with just 6% of our brain, imagine what we could do if we could incorporate another 20 or 30%. And I would think, I would hope that if you don't stop it, I'm gonna cook you for dinner. If can you hear her?
Yeah.
She's been bugging me since 5 o'clock. She can tell time. If we were able to access another 20 or 30%, I would love to believe that would change society totally. That we would move into a time in which we recognize that we are one family, that we need to take care of each other, that we need to share, that we need to stop war and start peace. And you know, I would love to think that the more we used of our consciousness, the more we used of our brain, the greater the spiritual philosophy would evolve into our everyday reality. I mean, I'd hate to think that, you know, what's not used is our war capacities, because we seem to be using our war stuff. So that maybe peace, love, tranquility, sharing, all of that stuff is what's shut behind those doors. And maybe if we open those doors, if we utilize those philosophies, if we applied them to our realities, this would be a better planet.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe we've done that, and that's why we've been, you know, kind of banned, so we could try to redo it again, because the first time it didn't work out so well. So we had to start over at a slower level, and they put us at such a primal level. And primal, I mean that at you know, no disrespect to the animals in us or the animals around us, but you know, they tend to really come from a very survival type of place, and that's probably why there's so much war. And if we weren't so bent on surviving, if we could get past that, maybe we could start enjoying what we have and stop trying to, you know, survive.
Oh yeah.
You
well,
know what I
have
mean?
You seen? Yeah. Have you seen the video Home? Have you ever watched
Home.
That? Home. On the front page of my website is a video link, and one of the videos that I totally absolutely recommend is called Home, and it's YouTube, and it is the most beautiful thing that you ever 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 could watch, and I'm posting it in the chat room. It is magnificent. It's an hour and a half, and it shows you the planet, and it goes from creation to now, and it's beautifully done, and it shows you how much of the planet is still viable, is still, you know, out there to support people. It also shows you how much of the planet is still basically in the Stone Age. So that, you know, while the culture we live in and stuff like that is, you know, a little bit out of the Stone Age, not much, but it shows you just how beautiful the planet is. It's the most beautiful video I think I've seen in a long time. It is just profound, and I highly recommend that everybody watch it, because it is magical, and the photography is absolutely gorgeous, and it really is an amazing experience. So I know I hear you, and so it's I forget where I was going with this, but it's sort of like we really have such a gorgeous planet, and we haven't ruined it yet, though we've spoiled a number of places. And it's through avarice and greed. It had nothing to do with food production or anything like that. It was through greed. And when you see us destroying whole ecological areas, look what we've done to the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, my God, there are hundreds of oil rigs there. And when that one blew up, I mean, it devastated whole aspects and areas right in the Gulf. It was horrible, and we didn't need that oil. And besides that, all of the oil that is oiled in the Gulf of Mexico is sent outside of the country. There's none of the oil that is pumped in this country stays in this country. It's all sent overseas. And yet we mine, we pump enough to supply ourselves. I've never understood that. Were you aware of that?
No, not at all.
Yeah, all of the. This is Patrick talking. Unfortunately, he creeped in here. Yeah, all of the oil that is pumped in this country is sent overseas. We buy our oil from overseas, and it is. Shipped into this country and then, you know, distributed. And yet we send out more than we bring in. So that, you know, check it out. It's you know, Google it. It's just phenomenal. And yet we have an oil crisis, which I don't understand.
Yeah, I never understood that either.
So, I mean, I can remember a time when gas was 50 cents a gallon. And for $5, you could fill your entire tank.
And now, that would be so amazing.
And now for $5, you can buy a little over a gallon. I mean, that's ridiculous. And it doesn't cost that much. All of the stuff on it are taxes all over the place. And, you know, but what gets me is that we're sending more out of the country than we're bringing into the country. And if we could supply our own oil, why are we doing this? And there's got to be a corporate profit and loss reason that has to do with power. And that again comes back to the fact that we have strayed away from a spiritual pathway, a spiritual purpose in life, and the politicians are out there for power and money, and we have a mercenary army that has become an invading army, that is under the guise of bringing democracy to places that didn't want democracy. And don't get me wrong, I don't believe in man's inhumanity to man. I don't believe that there should be slavery, and I don't believe that the abuse that are is taking place in some of these countries is appropriate. But we should really keep our noses out of other people's business and take care of ourselves first. And we're not doing that. So.
Agreed.
This show has taken one hell of a swoop into a strange direction, and I do apologize because we were gonna talk spiritual stuff here.
Hey, we talked about what needed to be talked about. That's just
yeah. I think the chat room has had a lovely time with talking about what we are talking about. And, Chris just said, welcome to Nightlight Matrix, hosted by Patrick via Barbara Joel. it would be nice if I just got some loving, hi, sweetheart, I love you stuff, but no, I get this kind of stuff.
Oh, that's the way it works.
Yeah, I guess. It just, but I do thank you for going along with the flow. It definitely has been an unusual flow, that's for sure.
It was an amazing show. You brought a lot of things to light. You've opened up a lot of people's ears, eyes, and I'm sure hearts in looking at things from different angles and maybe researching, if not planting the seed to go out there and pay attention to what's going on and not burying their head in the sand.
Well, I think also I love the idea, and I want to follow up with you on really doing some work on checking out where have we been, past lives and this life. We've all had past lives, but where else has our spirit been? Putting this life into a greater perspective that I think we have access to consciousness wise. So we're gonna have to figure out how we do this.
Yeah, I would love to do that. I think that would be an amazing thing to, sit down, document, and then maybe share with other people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'm going to play us out with Green Sleeves. I want to thank you so much for today. This was an adventure for me, and I so appreciate your being as patient and as kind and going with the incredible strange flow that the whole show took.
Thank you so much for having me on. I love talking to you. You know that I can talk to you for hours. So many blessings, and you take care. Yeah, right? Many blessings. You take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely, Annie. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody. Thank you for hanging in there with my rant. This was an experience. I will talk to you guys shortly.